Well, may we never lose sight of what the Lord has done. He's a wonderful Savior. The song says, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. And I have found Him to be that. He's been faithful and true. And I love Him this morning. Want to be faithful to Him. Ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless the message that He's given me to share with you this morning. I pray that it will come forth not as men's words, but as the word of the Lord. That He would speak to our hearts in a way that we'd be able to be blessed and challenged by it. I'd like to turn to the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, to begin. Luke 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Written on the board, that which is least. Scripture that we read came on the heels of the parable of a steward or man that had been put in charge and responsibility of his Lord's business and what was required and what was expected of him. The Lord has an expectation from us that we be faithful. That we be faithful with what He's given into our hands. You know, the Lord will never hold us to account for that which He never gave us. The Lord won't hold us responsible for that which we were never given or never given access unto. But that which is in our hands, that which the Lord has given us, however great or however small it might seem to be to us, there's an expectation that I'll be faithful unto that. We're familiar with the parable of the talents that were given out to the one who was given the one talent. He went and hid it. And he came back and he said, well, it's over there. But he didn't do anything with it. It seemed like so little. But I'd like for us to be mindful this morning that that which seems little to us is not little in God's sight. That which we might be tempted or find natural to just dismiss or to overlook is not small in God's sight. However small that which God has given us to do, be faithful in it. Be faithful in the little. That which the world might look on and say, it's so true, or the world will just overlook. I don't expect this morning that we're going to make any headlines here. I don't care to. But you know, I believe that if we'll be faithful with what God has given us to do, the Lord can take and work with that far beyond what this world could expect. The prayer request was given in before we went to prayer for our nation. There's a lot of talk about how to fix our nation. A lot of people taking up arms, figuratively and naturally, trying to figure out how to restore or to fix or to improve what that individual may deem as being broken with our country. Some people aspire to be the president to fix it. Some people aspire to be senators, congressmen, or a judge, or whatever it is. But I don't believe I've ever heard somebody say, this world is broken. I want to have a part in fixing it. I'm going to go be a faithful prayer warrior. But you know, there's more power in what the world would dismiss out of hand, saying, oh, there's nothing to that. There is more power to be able to change the course of things through prayer than there is in serving in any of those offices. And that's what we're called unto. Be faithful in that which is little. Don't listen to the voices of the world that say, oh, it's nothing. Let's turn to John, the 10th chapter. (Clears throat) like to consider a little bit of John the Baptist. John 10 and the 40th verse. They went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode, speaking of Christ and his ministry. John was now off the scene. John no longer a part of Christ's ministry. John had been on the scene. He had been prophesied. John had a definite place in history that God called him unto, that he was to fill. But that time and that place had come, and John was now beheaded, had been beheaded, and was no longer on the scene ministering. It said that many resorted unto Christ where he went unto, where John had before baptized. And they said John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. John did no miracle. I want us to think about that for a little while this morning. Does that mean that John was insignificant? Of no account? Why, he didn't even do any miracles. Any of those things that would grab the world's attention. There's nothing wrong with miracles. Thank the Lord, we still serve a miracle-working God. And the time came that when Jesus' ministry was fully set forth, that Jesus performed many miracles that testified of the Father. He even said in one place, if you don't believe the words that I say, believe me for the miracle's sake, that it can be testified and known that God indeed had sent Christ. And so Jesus raised the dead, healed the sick, cast out the evil spirits, calmed the raging storms, and on of the miracles that Jesus performed, that the people wondered at that. Whenever Jesus fed the thousands of people that were hungry, and he multiplied by miraculous intervention. I don't believe that there's a natural explanation for everything. I believe in a supernatural God. I know the science would try to diminish our God, to say that he's just a figment of our wishes and our imagination, and that all of the things that we read about, where there's some natural explanation to it. I don't believe it. I'm not convinced. I serve a miracle-working God who transcends beyond the laws of physics and science and nature that he created. He is not bound by those. He created them and they are subject unto him. Thank the Lord we serve such a God. A mighty God, mighty in power. And so we see all those things, and we see those who sought for Jesus after they were fed. They wanted that man who fed the thousands. Again, well, much more could be said of Jesus' ministry, but I want to think back now to what this says of John. Though Jesus did all those miracles, it said, John didn't. John didn't perform miracles. It wasn't big demonstrations and calling down fire out of heaven and all of those things that people would flock to by the multitudes and his fame going abroad because of the miracles that he did. Now, John had the witness of God upon him, and God blessed John's ministry. But do you know how long John's ministry was? You say, how is somebody going to make an impact in this world? Maybe if they devote their entire lives unto a noble cause. Now, I don't know for sure, but I believe that John's ministry might have lasted no longer than a matter of months. It might have been 6 months, a year, sometime in that space of time that John's outward ministry, when he began going forth and ministering of age, preaching the way of the Lord, that the kingdom of God was come, repent and be baptized, was just a few short months. And the time came in John's life, in John's ministry, well, the Lord again did bear witness unto it, and he blessed and convicted those who heard John's words, and many were baptized. But you know, the time came that John's disciples came to him. Well, let's read it. I believe it's in John, the third chapter. John 3. The 26th verse, they came unto John, John's disciples, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee before beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John, who the Lord, he had a place in history. He was prophesied of. He was used of God. He had the blessing of God upon his ministry, and the words that he spoke were not just man's words. But the time came when he began phasing off of the scene. And his disciples came to him saying, this man that you were bearing witness to, you were the one testifying, you were the one preaching the message, you were the one people came to hear and to be baptized of. Now they're following after him. You know, the devil would love to try to get in there and try to work with that and say, well, what's this all about? I've labored. I've been clothed with camel's hair and out in the wilderness and locusts and honey and working for the Lord, and people aren't even noticing me now. People are passing me on by and going to Jesus. But I love the spirit of John, that he didn't say, hey, forget that guy. No, he said, this my joy is full. This is the bridegroom. This is the one that I testified of. This isn't about me. This isn't about us. It's about one who died for us. The work of the Lord is not about you or me. It's about, as Brother Larry used to say, about a blood-soaked Savior. It's about one who gave his life for us. And whatever we might be able to do, however great or however small it might be, it should be simply to point people to Christ. To be able to, whatever I can do, whatever I can say, even if I'm forgotten about, even if nobody recognizes me for what I've done, I don't have my name in the paper and in the news, and don't have big multitudes of people coming out to stadiums, to be faithful in that which is little. Be faithful in that which is least. That which the world looks on and dismisses and scoffs at and mocks. I think about what Zechariah said in one place of the rebuilding of the temple. The enemies of God had mocked and laughed them to scorn and said, what do these feeble Jews? Why, even a fox could come and break down that wall that they're building. Zechariah said, who hath despised the day of small things? Don't dismiss the day of small things. God had chosen over and over and over again to work through that which the world calls silly, little, nothing. He came and was laid in a manger of all things. He came and was revealed unto the lowly shepherds that didn't have any important place in society. They had their place that night, and oh, what a place of honor it was to have a heavenly chorus of angels come and be revealed unto you, who the world has dismissed as nothing, but to be able to hear that wonderful message firsthand. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And I've got a little place here, and I can go carrying that message. And then the shepherds just kind of fade into the background. The wise men have a little place on the scene that they come seeking the Messiah. And they kind of fade off the background. What is the place that God has called us unto? What is the place God has given you and me? You know, I can be tempted to look at it sometimes and think, it's nothing. Lord, there's so little I can do. I don't have this ability and that ability and that gift, and I'm not able to do this and that. It's the devil's business to discourage. What the devil wants to get us to do is get so discouraged. I'm not this and I'm not that, and I'm not like them and I'm not like this one, that I just say, oh well, what's the use? I'll just leave it to others. I can't do anything for the Lord. Folks, the Lord is able to take that which seems so little, that which seems so insignificant. Amen. And so he says to a little boy, boy, how much food do you have? Master, I've got some. But among all of these, what is it? Son, give it to me. And you know, that's still what the Lord is asking for today. My child, what do you have? Well, Lord, it's not much. Lord, it's so insignificant. Lord, compared to what others can offer, I'm just about ashamed to even show it to you. No, son, give it to me. Give me what you have. And let me work with it. We heard about a little bit in the Sunday school this morning about division. It's the devil's business to divide. It's God's business to multiply. And the Lord is able to multiply. He's able to take that which seems so petty of ours, or so maybe insignificant's a better word, of ours. We give it to the Lord. And the Lord is able to multiply that and make more of it than what we could have ever thought. Be faithful in that which is little. John was faithful in his place, in his time, to not worry about what Jesus is doing more and what people are following. No, I've got something to do and I'm going to be faithful to that. And the Lord took and worked with it. It was an essential part of Jesus' ministry. It was a necessary forerunner. John needed to fill that place, and John was faithful to that place. And then there was a people who were prepared to hear the word of the Lord. A people whose hearts had been turned to God, whose hearts had been cultivated now, brought to an awareness that I am a whited sepulcher, that I needed to repent. And then the Lord brings Jesus on the scene. He filled his place. And he recognized, it's my time to decrease, and that Christ might increase. Jesus testified of John. He said, there is none greater. Well, was it really so great? John didn't even do any miracles. And the world didn't even, they've forgotten about John. In large part now, the world as a whole, John locked away at this point, of course, already dead, but there for a while locked away. And where's John? He filled his place and it was faithful to it. You know, Jesus went on to say of John, who he had just said, there's none greater. But he also said something to the effect that if we'll be faithful, we can be even greater than John. Now, it's not that I or you should aspire to be greater than somebody else. Lord, covet earnestly the best gifts. Lord, I want to be of most profit possible to you. Lord, would you give me what you see that you can use in your way and in your kingdom to do the most good. The Lord knows what that is. I don't know what it is. I could look at it and say, well, this is what success looks like. The world has their ideas of what beauty looks like, of what success looks like. And if you don't meet the criteria, if you don't have so many people, they want to keep a tally of this many numbers of people baptized or saved or in attendance or giving their tithes or whatever. And that's the measure of success. Folks, the measure of success is kept in an eternal logbook that we may never see until we get over to heaven. That I may never fully understand the good that'll be done. The world has yet to see what God can do with someone that is faithful to Him, to fully understand what God was able to do with that life. So don't let the devil diminish the place God has given you. All I can do is, you know, I'm older now. One of the older, I'm not able to get out very much and not able to travel and I'm not able to do this and do that. It just seems like, well, what can I do? There is a place for every one of us to fill. However young, however small. Speaking of youth, don't let any man despise your youth. But be thou an example of the believer. Say, well, there's nothing I can do. Absolutely, there's something you can do. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be steadfast. Be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Be faithful to that. Even though they said John didn't do any miracles, what did they go on to say? But everything that John did testify of him, it was true. It was right. May that be said of our lives. They were faithful. They were true. And the Lord is able to take and multiply our little. You ever go through life and life just seems kind of mundane? You get up, you go about your day, whether it's at home or on the job or whatever it is, and there's just so many mundane just tasks of life. And it can seem like nothing spectacular happened in my day today. I didn't do anything mighty for the Lord. Lord, am I doing anything of profit? No, I believe the Lord would have us to search and to give ourselves to Him. But what I want us to take away is if the Lord has given us little toddlers' noses to wipe, be faithful in that. If the Lord has given us somebody that's sick to call on the telephone and try to encourage, be faithful in that. Whatever the place is. So he said, skipping around a bit. So he said to the young, don't let anyone despise your youth. Oh, ask the little Naaman's little servant girl when you get to heaven. Were you able to work for the Lord? Just by being faithful. By being there. By having an ear to hear the hurting of those around her. And just saying, she didn't have the healing. She wasn't one that did the works. But she heard somebody hurting. and said, I know someone who can. Is that too much for us to do? There's a world of hurting people around us. Can we say, I know someone who can? I don't know the answers to your problems. I'm sorry you're hurting, but I care and I love you and I know somebody who can fix it for you. The Lord can take that which seems so mundane. Nothing special about me. I don't have any special, unique gifts, it seems like, or anything special that somebody else doesn't have. And the devil would try to just diminish and chip away and discourage to the point that I just fold my hands and do nothing. The Bible teaches us that every one of us have a place in the body. Every one of us have a place that only I can feel and only you can feel. Scriptures teach us, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12, speaking of the body and the different members of the body. Let's begin in the 14th verse. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But isn't that the way the devil tries to work? You know, if only I had what they have. If only I could speak like they speak. If only I could pray like they pray. If only I could go overseas in the mission work like they go. What's your place in the body? He that compareth himself among themselves, they're not wise. Lord, help me to see. Give me eyes to see what you've given me. He asked Moses one time, Moses who thought he was so incapable and unable to deliver this people. Moses, he asked, what's in your hand? Well, it's just common. It's just the rod that I'm used to using in my day-to-day work. Moses, you give that to me. That which is common in our lives, that which is mundane, that which is just so commonplace and seems so trivial, and give it to the Lord. Put it in the Lord's hands and see what the Lord can do with that which is mundane. Let's not let the devil tell us, because I'm not the eye, I can't see anything. Well, you're not supposed to be the one seeing. You're supposed to be the one hearing. Well, I can't walk anywhere. You're not the one supposed to be walking. You're the one supposed to be picking up once the feet have carried the body there. You see, every one of us can have a place, and the enemy coming along trying to whisper and say, your little place is nothing. You can't do anything of value. You can't walk like the other part of the body can walk. You can't see like the other part. Lord, help us to be able to have a vision of what the Lord has given me to do. And if I need to put blinders on and say, Lord, whatever others do, just like Jesus said, was it to Peter? When Peter said, well, Lord, what about this man? You've told me of something that I've got to give and sacrifice and what lies ahead of me. Lord, what about this man? Oh, Peter. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, you get your eyes on me and follow me and give yourself to me. And I'll take care of Brother John over there. I'll give him a place that he's got to feel. Oh, I'm so thankful that I'm not the organizer of the Church of God. The body of ministers is not the organizational governing body of the Church of God. It is the Holy Spirit that sets every one of the members in place where they belong, where they need to be. That I don't interview you and say, well, I'm going to do a skills assessment of you here and see what mighty things you're able to do and bring to the table. No, you give yourself to God. Submit yourself and consecrate yourself to God. And God will make something of you that I can't be. That I can't feel, and it'll be beautiful, your place in the body. And you pour your heart into that place. that God gives you to fill. And the Lord will take the whole as only He can. Oh, what a beautiful picture. And I pray we see it this morning. Of a body of Christ. Governed by the head alone. The head of the body, which is Christ. And every member set in the body by God. Through His Holy Spirit, who does the calling and the qualifying and the setting in place and the utilization and all of that. Thank the Lord that we can be part of the work of God. The work of God is not just the work of the ministers, the work of the evangelists, the work of the missionaries. The work of God is every one of us. The work of God is every member in the body. We all have a part to play in it. And Lord, help us to give ourselves and our heart to whatever place the Lord has given me to fill. And I might look at it and say, I don't even know what that place is. That's okay. Be faithful in what you know today. Remember the Lord dealing with me. And I wanted to know. I was really seeking the Lord. After I had given myself to the Lord and I had been sanctified and was seeking the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? And I felt the love burning in my heart. And Lord, I want to work for you. I want to give myself for you. Lord, what's it going to be? Show me my place. You know how the Lord did it? Little by little. He didn't show me the grand plan. I still don't know the grand plan. But He showed me. I want you to get up and testify this week. And here's a little thought that I want you to expound on. You know, the young people are meeting. I have a little young people's meeting. I want you to share this thought with them. You know, there's a need of a Sunday school teacher. I want you to help fill in here. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your heart, with your might. And the Lord began opening up the doors and guiding me faithfully into the place that He wanted me to fill. And as I would still come to Him and say, okay, well, Lord, You want me to preach Your gospel, but Lord, do You want me to be a pastor or an evangelist? Lord, what exactly? And there were times it seemed like silence. Lord, I want to see the big picture. And the Lord kept bringing me back to, Clint, be faithful with what you have today. You be faithful with what I've given you right now, and I'll take care of tomorrow. And the Lord is able to do it. So if I say, I don't know. I don't know what my place in the body is. Be faithful in what God has given you today. And the Lord will open up what He has for you tomorrow. Our God specializes in doing the extraordinary with the ordinary. Our God specializes in taking that which is ordinary and doing the extraordinary with it. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Oh, Lord, I'd never qualify to fit in that chapter. And yet all of us are called to be in a cloud of witnesses. And it said of those mighty men and women of faith that out of weakness they were made strong. They were weak too. They were flesh and blood like we are. And yet whenever they were faithful, and when their time of testing came, they were able to stand, and God was able to use them. Think of Daniel, whenever he was faithful throughout the years. He wasn't thrown into the lion's den until on up into his later years of life. Do you know that? He was faithful. He had established a pattern of faithfulness through his life. That whenever the testing time came that said, now there is a law that says you're going to be thrown to the lions if you keep doing what you're doing. It didn't faze him. He was faithful. He had been faithful. He didn't suddenly start being something that he hadn't been. He had been faithful in little, so that when much came, he was faithful in that as well. Lord, help us to be faithful in the ordinary. How will we be faithful in the extraordinary if we're not faithful in the ordinary? How will we be faithful when the testing times come if we're not faithful when the easy times are here? if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you? How will you contend with the horses? Lord, help us to be faithful with the footmen, because the time of contending with the horses in my life is coming. Be faithful in that which is least. I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. While one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye yet carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It is the Lord knows how to work in such a way that His glory is not given unto man, but unto His name. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They're just servants. Minister is just a servant. And that's what we're called to be. You remember Apollos' story? Apollos said was a man who had much zeal. And as they read about it in the 18th chapter of Acts, says, they came across this Apollos, born in Alexandria. It was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. John, who had passed off the scene so many years before, but John was faithful. John spoke that which was true, regardless of whether he saw the fruit of it or not. We are wired to want to see the fruit of our sacrifices. That if I give out, I want to be able to see something come back. If I go to work, I want to be able to see a paycheck within a couple weeks. But working for the Lord is different. We're going to have to be willing, as the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes says, to just cast our bread on the water. Just throw it out and cast it on the water. Not trying to calculate the return and trying to say, only if I see the fruit will I give out. Only if I see that it's producing much good will I continue to sacrifice. No, cast it out on the water with reckless abandon. As the Lord leads and as the Lord gives opportunity, sow the seed, cast the bread, and in many days, it might be in my lifetime and it might not be in my lifetime, that'll come back. The word of the Lord will not return unto him void. Whatever place the Lord gives you to fill, you be faithful to fill it, and the Lord will give the increase. So Apollos was instructed, not perfectly, but the things that John spoke were the only things he knew, and he was faithful in that until the Lord gave him understanding to know more perfectly the ways of God. And his heart was prepared and ready for it, and he embraced it and loved it and preached it. Was used mightily of God. And yet, Paul said, it's not me. It's not Apollos. I have one little part to play. I'll do the planting. Someone else is going to come along behind me, and they're going to do the watering. And then God's going to give the increase on the back end of that. I might not see it. But I've been challenged, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Not just with what these eyes see. He that regardeth the clouds and the wind is never going to sow. But Lord, help us to just day after day, week after week, be faithful in the service of the Master. And the Lord will bless that. It won't be in vain. Be not wearied. Don't faint in well-doing. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not. So it might be that I never see the fruit. It might be that I never realize the full impact of what I did. I want to give you just an example from history of our nation. There was a man who experimented with a product called rubber. This rubber was not very useful at the time. Very limited applications. But this man, Charles Goodyear, began experimenting with this product and trying to make it more durable. And he developed the process of vulcanization of rubber. In short, the process that allowed rubber to be used on belts and hoses and tires and all the things that we use rubber for today. This man developed that. He patented it. We recognize the name Goodyear, don't we? But did you know? He died a poor man. And he never saw the success of what his invention led to. For a number of reasons. But over the course of his years that followed after developing and earning the patent, it didn't really earn him money. He died leaving his family $200,000 in debt, little knowing the impact that his invention would have worldwide for years and years to come. He died not knowing it. And only in later years did someone found the Goodyear Company in honor of Charles Goodyear. If they're able to be faithful in the temporal, Lord, help us to be faithful in the eternal, where we may never see. You know, I might hand a tract to somebody. I might be in the grocery store and see somebody and say, God bless you. And I go on and I never see that person again. We never know what the Lord is able to do with a smile and a good morning. We never know what God is able to take and use of something that was done and given and go on. And I never know. I don't have to know. The Lord is not beholden to come back to me and show to me all of the fruit of what I've done. I believe there's a day that we'll be able to see and know in full. But that's not today. The Lord calls us to be faithful whether I see it and whether I know it or not. And we can be geared in our minds to say, well, if it leads to someone coming and sitting in these pews, if it leads to someone being able to worship with us and all, then, oh, be faithful. We enjoy the fellowship of every blood-washed one. It's the Lord's desire to bring His children together. But I'm supposed to just cast my bread on the water and let the Lord do the work. Oh, I could go to the nursing home and think, you know what? They're probably never going to be able to get out of here. And you know, there's greater, bigger things I can do. If the Lord gives you the burden and the call to go to the nursing home, you go do that. And the Lord will take, leave the results to the Lord. The Lord will take and bless that thing and multiply it. And say, oh, I don't know if they'd ever be able to get out of the sins that they're in. Oh, have faith in God. Know that God is able to do the work. You just tell the good news that God's able to deliver you. If that's what God gives you to do. And let the Lord do the work. Do we believe in the working of the Holy Spirit today? Do we believe that God is still able to convict a sinner? Do we believe that the blood of Jesus is still able to cleanse from all unrighteousness, is still able to deliver the most vile sinner? So let's not hesitate to point people to Him, to tell them, oh, there's a fountain open in the Savior's side. There is a way, there is a place. Oh, I don't know how to say it. I'm not a preacher. Show the love of God. You be faithful in the little that God has given you to do. I'm reminded also of a story. There have been multiple stories like this, but a man named William Leslie went into the Republic of Congo, I believe it was, labored for 17 years in the jungles of the Congo, trying to spread the good news of the gospel and tell people about Christ 17 years later. He left so dejected and discouraged and came back to the U.S. feeling like all of my 17 years of labor has been in vain. Nothing I can see from it. I can't really see any fruit. What's the use? And he came back, and you know, 80 years later, some missionaries went back to that same region of the jungles of the Congo. You know what they found? They found some believers. They found some people who were endeavoring to serve God. They found congregations way back there in the jungle. And they began asking, well, who's been here? How do you know about these things? And they didn't know the name, but they began to describe it. Many, many, many years ago, a man came. Folks, we might not be called to the jungles, but I'm going to tell you, I pray that God will inspire and challenge our hearts today. Be faithful in that which is least. Whatever God gives you, don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. The Lord has a work for you and me to do. So let's do it with our heart. Let's put our heart into it. Whenever disappointments come and whenever things just seem like it's not turning out the way that I want it to turn out, and the enemy would try to whisper, just throw in the towel. Just let somebody else do it. Oh no, be faithful. Be faithful to what God has given you to do, however small it might be. Leave the results in the Lord's hands. The Lord is able to give the increase. You pray for me. Amen.